Good morning, Church in the Falls.
Good morning.
God bless each of you. So glad to have you here. I love the fact that sometimes I don't communicate where I'm headed in a sermon to Jared, and the Spirit brings songs like that one that I could not have picked it better with regard to what we're talking about today. It's just amazing. I love when that happens, and it happens often. Well, welcome to Church in the Falls. It is so neat to see new faces and people that I don't know very well. So that is really exciting, and I hope I get to meet all of you today in various ways before you leave. Such an exciting thing. Church in the Falls is a family that anyone can belong to, and we really mean that. We understand that at the end of the day, you'll stand before the Lord, and you will be in judgment, and you'll have to make those decisions. And so what we want to do here is not be the kind of people that say ought to should all the time, but rather say, what does the Bible say? What do you see the Bible say? This is what I see the Bible. Let's work together. Let's study together. Let's just live the best way we can based on the way God has led us and shown us in His Word. And so this is a safe place for anybody. Wherever you're coming from in your journey, this is a place that you can be, and we're glad that you're here. As always, we're here to embrace God, encourage each other, to equip the church to engage the world. And our ultimate goal of all of this is to know the Lord Jesus Christ and to what, church? And to make Him known. Those simple ideas rule the roost here. That is what we're all about at Church in the Falls. Now, I want to dive into a part B of a series that I started last week. And if I say some things today and you didn't hear last week, you may be like, what? And that's valid and that's fair. So I'm going to give you a very short review. But if you weren't here last week, some of this might catch you off guard a little bit. So I encourage you to go back and watch that. You can find it on YouTube and our podcast. But the book of Galatians is at the core of what we're talking about. And the entire book of Galatians, its core message is about freedom. And so that's why I looked at it last week to end this week on the 4th of July. We're celebrating freedom as a country. We're celebrating the concept of freedom. You realize that God started that, right? Remember the first time we read about that. God said we are free to eat of any fruit, except for that one. That's God's idea, to give us freedom. We are in His image. There's a resonance with God, the creativity God created and made. There's something about being free to explore. God has given that to us in our very DNA. And so we celebrate it. But then when sin comes along and we get trapped and stuck, there's a need for additional freedom. And that's when Jesus comes in. And that's what the story's all about. So I wanted to focus on that. Galatians at its core is that Jesus came to bring freedom. And the gospel's the way He did it. And anything you add to that that makes you a slave again is absolutely unacceptable. And Paul is extremely loud. This is his brood of vipers sermon, if you will. Remember when Jesus was calling out the Pharisees? This is Paul's version of that. It's very, very loud. And some of the language he uses, if we were to translate it into today's vernacular, would probably not be very appropriate. It's very sharp and very, very loud. The core idea is this, that anything that adds fear into our life and is added to the gospel, Paul literally says, let it be accursed. To hell with it. Literally is what he says. Multiple times. So I want you to grapple with that. That's what we talked about last week. Anything that is added to the gospel of good news that brings about fear. As simple as anxiety is, well, I need to, ought to, should. And there's an anxiety around that. That is not what God has called us to. He has called us to freedom. And this book makes that very loud. A false gospel, then, is any gospel that brings fear to you. Because fear is slavery. And the gospel says that's not what God is up to. He's called us to be free. Now we looked at this idea of how fear brings slavery. And the opposite this week we're going to look at is how love brings freedom. And if you look at that, then that means the opposite of fear is love. But that's not what you think about when you think, well, what is the opposite of fear, right? What is the opposite of love? Well, that must be hate. Well, if you think about it, when people are afraid, what often comes out of them? Hate. You've seen it, right? It's not that far of a leap even there. But I want to take you on a journey today as best I can, and I'm hoping that today will be one of the more practical lessons. So once I make my case and I share with you some scripture, both from the words of Jesus and Paul in Galatians, I'm hoping that you'll leave and be like, okay, I need to do this week. And I hope that you'll do that and try this out. But here's the simple idea. Fear brings slavery. Love brings freedom. You might say fear enslaves, love emancipates. Fear obstructs, love instructs. Fear freezes you, love frees you. Fear imprisons you, love envisions you. It gives you a perspective bigger. Fear oppresses, whereas love blesses. And my favorite one I was thinking about is fear locks you up, love lifts you up. You just kind of keep that perspective. That's how they're opposites. That's what's going on in these two ideas. Satan wants to use fear wrapped around the lies he has you believing to trap you. And Galatians says, no. Don't buy it. That is not what it is. Even if it comes from church people, and that's who he's talking to in Galatians, don't believe it. God has come to set you free. And if Christ has made you free, then you are free indeed. And he wants you to make sure to understand that. So let's pick back up in Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to read from a couple different translations. I try to put them on the board. MSG just stands for the message. And there's a bunch of different versions today I'm going to bring to you because it brings a little perspective. But if you go back to Galatians 5, towards the end of the book, verse 1, he says, Christ has set us free to live a free life. So take your stand. This is the instruction of what to do. Never again let anyone put a harness of slavery on you. And it continues in verse 13. It is absolutely clear that God has called you to a free life. Just make sure that you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do that might destroy that freedom. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Here's the opposite. You see how the freedom brings love and love brings freedom. They go hand in hand. And that's how freedom grows, he says. For everything we know about God, God's word is summed up in one single sentence, and this is it. Love others as you love yourself. Now, just a minute. Jesus said the first and the greatest commandment was what? Love the Lord. And the second one was just like it, and that is this one. Love your neighbors yourself, right? Paul comes along and says, you know what? If you really get down to it, if we just love our neighbor, it does both. James says something similar, remember? He said, if you love God but hate your brother, you don't really love God. As in loving your neighbor, loving your brothers and sisters, loving the people around you, at its core is what it means to love God. Because you're loving His image. You're loving in a way that's much harder. It's easy to love God because He gives you goodies, right? He gives you life. Breath, He's always good. He's a great Father. He's compassionate. He's patient. He's loving kindness. All these things, right? We can get on board with God. And God never comes face to face with us in ways that we have to bump up against it. We have to really look for that. But brothers and sisters, that's a little different. They're all up in our business. And they're irritating. And they're frustrating. And God says, look, if you can learn to love them, then you'll understand what it really means to love. And therefore, the entire law and the prophets will be fulfilled through you by loving your neighbor as yourself. So that's what Paul is getting to. Love is a great way to free us, and freedom brings love. And they go symbiotically round and round. Then he ends with, that is an act of true freedom. But if you bite and ravage each other, watch out. In no time at all, you'll be annihilating each other. And then where will your precious freedom be? He's directly connecting how we treat one another to our freedom. Now, this is a radical idea if you think about it. This is not a little thing. We are trapped in our sin. Jesus said, if you sin, you're a slave to sin. The things that we do, the rhythms that we get caught into. And we think, how do I break out of that? How do I not be afraid? How do I not believe the lie that somehow Satan has got trapped in the back of my mind? I think this may be a massive step in the right direction. Love irritating people well. When you start doing that, I think what we're learning here is that you will start to break down that fear. And it's no longer just an emotion. Like if I told you you're afraid today, stop being afraid. It's not that easy, is it? I would love to be able to just turn a switch and no longer feel those things. I think what God is saying is, that is a correlation, but this is how it looks. I need you to go out and love people well. That's hard. And in the process of doing that, it will destroy the fear. It will break down the lie, and it will free you. Now that's something we can do. Love can be commanded. Not to fear is a little harder to be commanded. So I want to see the connection here. This is a really important concept. And I think it is something that's very, very, very practical. You might think of it this way. Slavery is one person owning another. Freedom is one person loving another. Radical difference in that. And that is at the core of what it's all about. Galatians 4, a little bit before that passage, Paul says this. Before you Gentiles knew God, you were slaves to so-called gods that don't even exist. So now that you know God, or should I say that God knows you, see this relational element to know the Lord Jesus Christ and make Him known is all about understanding and love and connection. Why do you want to go back again to be slaves once more to the weak and useful useless spiritual principles of this world? Remember the Israelites, we talked about them last week. They get out, they're fresh out of slavery. I mean, they have been brutalized for 400 years. And suddenly it's the enemy they don't know. And the lie kicks in, the fear kicks in. And what do they say? Let's go back to Egypt. They have leeks and onions in Egypt. Yeah, and there's a slave master who beats you every day. What is wrong with you? It's like you don't understand when you read the text. But we do it every day. We get wrapped into our brokenness and we get stuck. I think he is head on taken. He says, why do you want to go back to that stuff that controlled you? And then you say, well, how do I get rid of it? How do I just change how I feel? Love one another. Love each other. Love understanding who God is. Engaging in that. And engaging in others and seeing them as more complicated than you see them as a surface area is the key to this. Here's another flavor. Galatians 5:6. He says, circumcision and uncircumcision aren't worth anything. Now those are rhythms of religion in this particular case. I would equate that today with things like coming to church and reading our Bible. Very important things in the heritage of the Jewish culture. It was in or out based on circumcision. He's saying, look, it doesn't have anything to do with anything. It doesn't help you at all. The only thing that really counts is faith that shows itself through love. Now it's interesting. Those two words, worth and counts, are only one word. It's the same word in the Greek. But it has to be translated separately to get the vibe of it. Remember in Philippians 4:13 when Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? That's the same kind of message we're talking about here. It's the same word. Exactly. In other words, circumcision and uncircumcision has no power to do anything. But what does have power? Expressing love. It changes things. It makes things different. And it is a practical prescription for life. It's how we go about it. The very next verse, Paul says, you are running a great race. Who has kept you from obeying the truth? So now he takes it farther. He says, obeying the truth, right? That's what we want. Not obeying the truth is what? Focusing on things like circumcision and uncircumcision and rules and regulations and non-freedom ideas. Things that bring fear and anxiety around the gospel. He said that is not obeying the truth. Obeying the truth is when love expresses itself in your life. And you can do that on command. In fact, Teresa of Lisieux, I think her name is, she has something called the little way, and I've talked about this before. She actively pursues the person most irritating to herself every day on her time off to bless them. That's the way of Jesus. Think about that for a minute. What would that look like in your life? To intentionally pursue the most irritating person in your life on your time off to bless them. When you do that, you'll be freed, is what the Bible is saying. And I don't think that's just I get to go to heaven. It has nothing to do with it. Christ gets us to heaven. All the sin stuff, God has already taken care of. What he's talking about is how we live. We get strapped and wrapped all up in ourselves. And the way to break free of that involves choosing to love well, especially those who are irritating. That's a very simple prescription, but it's a very hard thing to do. Can you see that? God is calling the brave, and that's what he's calling. That's what obeying the truth really looks like in Galatians. It's a prescription from Dr. Jesus, right? Go do this, and it will help you. And you think, okay, wait a minute. Now, Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So why are we talking about love? Let me give you some context on that. I think it's real important. You see how the truth is being related here in Paul. But Jesus in John 8 says that very thing. The truth will set you free. But there's a verse right before it that sets the context. And this is what it says. Verse 31 says, if you obey my teaching, Jesus says, you are really my disciples. It means you're going to do what he does. And then you will know the truth. So knowing the truth is about experiencing the life of Jesus. It's about knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and making him known. Do you see the connection there? When we do that, when we understand how God loves us and our brokenness, and then we say, okay, well, you did that with me, so guess what? I'm going to do that with this irritating person over here. Now you know the Lord Jesus Christ, and guess what? You're making him known by the way you live. When you do that, Jesus says, then you'll know the truth. You'll obey the truth, and you'll be free. It's a direct correlation to the context. Even farther down. In fact, I love this phrase. Love one another, not because they deserve it, but because you need it to be free. How's that for perspective shift? Love people not because they deserve it. Most of the time they don't. But because you need it. And I dare say they need it as well. We love because God first loved us. He later says in that passage when Jesus is arguing with these folks in 8:42, he says, if God were your father, then you would love me. Again, that same idea. And then in John 13, in his last meal with his apostles. I mean, this is a special moment, the last teaching. And he's washing feet and he is doing mic drop moments. This is when he's leaving them with something they're never going to forget. The meal we just partook of comes from this section of history. And Jesus says, my children, verses 33, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I'm going, you cannot come. Just as I told the Jews. What is he talking about? John chapter 8, what we just read. That's when he says it twice. Where I'm going, you cannot come. So if you're curious about what is the teaching he's talking about, if you knew me, you'd love me. And he's kind of all over the map in John 8. And he comes back with his apostles. They remember when I told them that? Let me tell you again. And here's what he says right after it. The very next verse. I give you a new command. Love one another. You must love one another. Just as I have loved you. If you loved one another, then everyone will know you're my disciple. And I would add, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You see the connection here, right? This is right out of the heart of Jesus' big moments. When he's standing up against the Pharisees in loud language. Remember, John chapter 8 ends with, before Abraham was, I am. And they pick up stones to kill him. I mean, he is just mic dropping with everybody. And they're just like, I don't know who this guy is, but he can't say that. That's blasphemy. And then he picks it back up with his precious 12. And he says, guys, remember when I said that? Let me tell you again. Listen to me. I'm about to leave you. You got to get this. Love one another. When you do that, the whole law and the prophets are fulfilled through you. You love my Father when you love me. You love me when you love each other. When you do to the least of these, you do unto me, he says in another place. This is the message of Jesus. Loving hard people to love is what frees us in this world. Again, sin, Jesus already got that covered. It's the rhythms that we get stuck in. We're slaves to sin, even though we're freed from it. We may be free from the consequence of sin, but our rhythms of day-to-day life and the anxieties and the fears And that's what Paul is saying. Look, Galatians is reminding us that Jesus came to set us free. And the way he does it is by choosing to love those who are hard and frustrating. Again, Dr. Jesus speaks. You ever wondered why? Think about Peter and Paul. These are the two premier apostles, right? Peter was sent to who? You read Galatians this week, you'll know the answers to this. Peter was sent to the Jews. Paul was sent to everybody who was not a Jew, right? The Gentiles. He's the apostle to the Jews and the apostle to the Gentiles. He talks about that a lot in this book. Why? Peter is a blue-collar trade worker. And you're going to send him to the scholars, to the religious leaders, and to those who are elite. That doesn't make sense. And then you got Paul, who was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was a scholar. He was a fast burner. He knows his stuff. Where are you going to send him? Let's send him to Jerusalem. No. We're going to send him to the Gentiles. The people who have no idea. They don't even value the scriptures. They don't even understand the law. So let's send an expert in the law to teach those who have no idea that they even need to respect the law. And oh, by the way, we're going to throw it out and just talk about Jesus. I mean, why would God do that? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, one reason I think comes to mind is just the shock value. Remember in Acts chapter 3 when Peter heals the guy? He says, look, I need some money. And Peter says, I don't have money, but what I do have, I'm going to give you. Get up and walk. And it like just set the whole place on fire. It was an amazing story. And the Jews are getting upset with that because why are you doing this? And the Bible says very explicitly in chapter 4 verse 13, they took note that these uneducated men, Peter, was speaking boldly and that they had walked with Jesus. So there's a shock value in that. And same thing in reverse. When you come to town, I mean, one of Paul's favorite things in Thessalonians, 1 Corinthians, and 2 Corinthians, he says, look, I came and I worked hard among you so I wouldn't be a burden. As in, I'm giving you all this for free. Well, that's not what a Pharisee does, right? A Pharisee comes in on a trolley with people lifting him up and they're fanning him and he's got grapes. And I will bequeath my presence upon you as the great apostle Paul. That's what he should have done according to his lifestyle. But instead, what does he do? He comes in and says, look, I just want to tell you about something. And you don't have to feed me. You don't have to pay me. I'm going to work to provide for myself because what I got for you is so good. I don't want you to be put off by anything. I'll become all things to all people, he says at one point. So there's shock value, but here's the real reason. I want you to think about this for a minute. I think the reason that God sends people like Peter to people who are not like Peter and Paul to people who are not like Paul is because they have to learn to love, care for, and sacrifice for those who are weird and different than they are. And that frees them. Put that in your own life for a minute. The people that are the most disagreeable, that believe the most different than you. Let me put a plug in for The Chosen. Who's watching The Chosen? If you're not watching The Chosen, you are missing magic, all right? I'm telling you, on a cinematic level, it's up there with Star Wars for me. I love it. Entertainment value, equally high. And the story is right out of the heart of the gospel. It's beautiful. Don't miss it. But season 2 is all about the ragamuffin group that Jesus puts together. So you got on one side, Matthew, the tax collector. He is cheating his own people. He's sucked up to the Roman, the occupying force. He is a backstabber and he deserves punishment. And then on the other side, you got the zealot who believes that this is how we punish people. We slip up in a crowd and we stab them and watch them die and stand up for Jerusalem, right? Kill the Romans. Exactly opposites. Then you got your fishermen. You got all your blue-collar workers. You got all these different people. And Jesus brings them together and he starts sending them out to work together. Same thing he does with Peter and Paul. Same thing he wants to do with you. Because when you're with people who are different than you and you're there on purpose because you're intentionally choosing to love them, God knows that you will know the truth. And the truth will do what? Set you free. This is a big ribbon. And I'm throwing a lot of stuff at you. But I hope you're capturing what I'm saying. This is a very practical prescription for how to not be a slave. Love people who are awful to you. On purpose. If you want to go the Teresa route, on your day off. When you do that, you know the Lord Jesus Christ. And you make Him known. All at the same time. Can you see that? I didn't ask if you liked that. But do you understand that? You see how simple it is? I mean, this is the moment when Jesus is hanging on the cross and He says, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. Now that is pretty compassionate for a man who is in agony. That is the model of Jesus. To love the soldier that just nailed you to the cross. Pretty loud. Black and white. Except with Jesus talking, it's in red, you know. But it's right there in the Bible. It's so clear. And so Paul is bringing that to him and saying, look, y'all caught up in all kinds of crazy stuff. I don't care that you went to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and that you read your Bible every day. You're not loving people well. You've missed the whole point. It has no power. It does nothing for you because you're missing the point of it all. If you study Scripture, let it be to learn how to love people well. If you go to church, let it be to find the person that's the most irritating to you and love them well. That's the truth. That's obeying the truth, and that sets you free. That's the bottom line of this. And that's what I want you to celebrate on a day like Independence Day, to be free. And of course, the great passage, 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love. The opposite thing going on. But perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. And the one who fears is not made perfect in love. Now, perfect love, the word perfect here is a word Michael talks a lot about, telos. It's this idea of the goal. What is it there for? Well, the point of love is to be whole and balanced and consistent. It involves tough love and gushy love and all the love. It's doing what's best. That's perfect love. That's whole, balanced, ultimate, goal-oriented love. That's how we should live. Perfect love casts out fear in you and in those that you love. That word there, cast out, is the same word that consistently uses throughout the Bible when it says that the demons were cast out. Remember when the legion comes and there's like thousands of demons in this person in the graveyard. Remember that story? And they yell out, oh, Son of Man, don't send us into the bad place. And they're all freaking out. And Jesus is like, out. That's the word. He drives out the demons. And they run to the pigs and they go off the cliff. Remember that story? And many others like it. That is the same word. It's the same idea here. That means when we do love, hard stuff, the whole balanced, good kind of love, the kind of love we find in the most irritating people, and we treat them with respect, dignity that they did not deserve, but that we need for our freedom. When we do that, it drives out fear. It's like saying, in the name of Jesus, out of that person. You have the power to do that by loving people. It drives out a fear, and fear is one of the main techniques Satan uses to hold people captive. The question is it something that you're willing to do or not? Because it's not an easy thing. One more. Colossians 3. Therefore, remember we talked about love that's focused. Therefore, it's the same idea here. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. You hear the interpersonal? It says all, you can't do that all by yourself, right? Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any one of you have a grievance against someone, forgive them. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect, here's that word again, unity. How we treat one another is exponentially more important than anything we do on Sunday morning or in your private devotional time. That's what he's saying. What a lot of folks will want you to believe, church folks included, Pharisees or church folks, is they want you to believe that if you don't do the right things and check the right boxes, that somehow you're going to miss it. You got a data point wrong. Galatians says, no, let anybody be accursed to add to that. What's important is that you understand and know God's love for you and that you share that with others. How irritating are you to God? I want you to really think about this for a minute. Because you know you think you're kind of special. I mean, we all do, a little bit. And you also know that, yeah, I probably would rather not talk about that, right? How irritating are you to God? How proactive was He to reach out to you? Last time I checked, none of us were born when Jesus died for us. That's pretty proactive. God says, I want you to do the same. Actively seek and love people well. The question is, are you willing to do that? Are you willing to adjust what you say on social media? Are you willing to engage people instead of just avoiding them because you don't like them? Are you willing to engage people at work who are just awful to you? They're trying to stab you in the back all the time. Jesus says, find those people and love them well. Why? Not because they deserve it, but because it's what you need to be free. It's the truth. And when you know the truth, when you follow my commandments, the new one he gave, love one another. The whole world will know you're his disciple. You'll look just like him. And then the truth will set you free. That's pretty good news. Again, if you missed last week, go listen to it. Galatians is a rich, rich, powerful book. But don't miss its message. A lot of people want to twist it to make it about a bunch of stuff we got to do. Any gospel that is different than the gospel I told you, and they want to put whatever words they want to put around it, that is not what it's about. It's the reverse. It's a simple message that says, if you're not loving one another, you're missing it all. True independence can only come through a deep dependence on God. That is the knowing and experiencing God's love and then passing that to other people. I want to say one more thing and I'm going to be quiet. I know it's getting late here. You guys have heard the term cancel culture. I think that is an example of what Paul would call out in today's church. If something looks or smells anything like what I don't like, then I'm going to throw everything out that has anything to do with it. We used to do that. Back when I was growing up, I would hear things like, oh, well, you can't listen to that guy preach. Well, why not? Because once upon a time, he was at a conference where that guy spoke, and we know he's from the devil. What? What are you even talking about? I mean, it confused me then. That's what he's getting at. That's the church version of cancel culture. And in our world, it's gotten so loud that we go into our social media, we don't talk about things because we don't want to get into these awkward conversations. It's awful. We want to throw everything out automatically because it smells or looks like something that makes us uncomfortable. And then in order to justify it, we demonize. That's the exact opposite of what he's saying here. Find the people who are the most irritating to you. It's real easy. Go on Facebook for 10 minutes and you got a whole list of people to pray for. I promise you. And I say that and I know you're laughing, but I'm serious. My blood pressure boils when I get on there. I'm saying, what is wrong with you people? Okay, God, I hear you. Because he's saying, David, what is wrong with you? I know you're so patient with me. I know. I gotta be patient with them too. Right? That's the real story right there. And I want to ask you, we've got to be better at this, church. We are the chosen people. We are the chosen. That film is about us. It's about us being together and being completely different and irritating to one another. But we come together around one thing. And that is that Jesus is here. And he's called us. Period. And you can look over at Matthew and say, you are just. And Jesus says, I know. That's why I called him. And guess what, Peter? You are just too. And Matthew's like, That's the church. So if you think you're going to agree with everything, you're missing the point. You're back into the wrong kind of gospel. And that's what Paul is arguing against. It's not about that. It's about coming together, agreeing to disagree at times, and loving no matter what.
Amen.
We have got to do this better, church. Because the Bible is very clear. Jesus, His own words in red. When you love one another, the world will what? It will know that you are My disciples. My question to you is, does the world know that you're a disciple of Jesus by the way you love them? In everything you do? If not, then you got to ask yourself a question. Are you really wanting to follow Jesus or not? Because when you keep His commands, when you know the truth by loving others, you will be free. Pray with me. Father, You know this message is for me. But I pray that somebody here will listen in to our discussion and gain something of profit. Father, I thank You for being kind and compassionate and patient with me and with all of us here. Lord, I pray that You would remind us deeply of the love that You have for us. As the song we just sang, what have I done to deserve love like this? And the answer is we don't deserve it. But it's what we need. Father, would You remind us? Would You inspire us? Would You prod us with Your Spirit? Would You bring it through the mouths of babes? Would You bring it through accountability and whatever it needs, Lord? I pray that You would reach every heart here today and everyone who's watching online with a distinctive and clear vision for each person. What does it look like to love? Who is that person that they need to reach out to and love well, or at least pray for? Father, convict us in that, because we want to be like Jesus. We want to be free. Father, help us celebrate today a day of freedom with loving well. Lead us and guide us, Lord, and we thank You for Your love for us. We pray all of this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. If you need to respond today, we have at least two ways you can do that. You can meet me up here in the front. We can talk a little bit. Or you can go to our prayer room. It's a little more private. We have elders who will meet you back there. Or you can reach out during the week. I guess that's the third way. We want to walk with you. We all struggle. We're just trying to help each other out. So if we can be a blessing to you as a church or as a leadership, please reach out. Let's stand together and let's worship.